comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
All right, everybody, this is it. As you know, about a week and a half ago, the Cape Comic-Con down in Cape Girardeau took place. I was there for the, it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. I was there Saturday and Sunday, and I met a lot of great people and got a lot of cool pictures, got a lot of stuff that I'm excited to tell you about throughout the course of this two-part episode, episode 15 of Nerds United, my coverage from the Cape Comic-Con. And we're going to jump right into it with the director, the organizer, if you will, of Cape Con. That's Ken Murphy. When I visited with them, again, this was the 22nd, 23rd, and nope. 21st, 22nd, 23rd, there we go, of March, and it was a great time. Looking forward to definitely going back and having a larger presence there next year for the 10th Comic-Con. Before we get into everything, just want to let you know, as I got about 2 hours worth of audio down there. We'll be breaking it up. As I said, you get to part one today and part two tomorrow. Unless you're listening to this after Wednesday, then part one and two can probably be listened to back-to-back because we're going Wednesday and Thursday, the releases this week, and again, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another one. I got a lot of great stuff there. I'm looking forward to putting together and I haven't even gotten the pictures of it all yet to show you, but I'll be putting together a 2014 Cape Comic-Con prize bundle for a giveaway. I really need your help on this one. Tell your friends about Nerds United. We're at 48, 49 maybe Facebook likes. I want to see that hit triple digits by the next episode, by episode 16, not part two, but tell your friends. I'm not giving this away until we hit triple digits because I want a lot of folks to know about this. We've got some original art, some signed art. We've got the pass that I got for Mr. Jim Cornette, the pass to the Jim Cornette Experience. He autographed it. I'm throwing that badge in there as well. A lot of great things. I'm giving away one bundle. No purchase necessary, as they always say, must be 18 years old or older to enter. Be listening for that. But again, spread the word about Nerds United. I was down there handing out some business cards to some folks. Did not get nearly as many handed out as I had hoped because I kept forgetting about it, or I don't know, just felt awkward of, hey, here's my card. Thanks a lot. But to talk to a lot of great people, that's what it's all about, making these connections. Looking forward to seeing a lot of these familiar faces next year. So without any further ado, let's get into coverage. The audio coverage, if you will, of Nerds United at the 2014, the 9th annual Cape Comic-Con from Cape Girardeau.
Set phasers to fun.
And welcome to Nerds United. This is episode 15 live for, well, live, at least I'm here live. You get the recording. But here at the 9th annual Cape Girardeau, Cape Comic-Con, we're going to visit first with the organizer, Mr. Ken Murphy. Ken, first of all, I got to thank you for allowing us to be here, and thanks for the press pass.
Oh, my pleasure. We are glad to have Nerds United here with us today.
Now, this is in its 9th year. Tell me a little bit about how this idea, how this got formed.
Sure. Year 9. So I was a retailer in the comic book industry, and we were coming up on my 10th anniversary as a retailer, and I wanted to have a show to celebrate the 10th anniversary. You know, I'd been to the big shows in San Diego and Chicago and Atlanta, and I wanted to do something, you know, fun for our community, for my customer base, and similar to the best we could. And that's where it started. You know, 400 people the first weekend for the first year. We were ecstatic, and you know, it looks like this year things are looking a lot better than that. So it's fun. It's great for the community. We get a lot of support. And we just try to continue to add layers to it every year as far as different genres, more activities, more programming, more interaction.
I know this year there's also the gaming side of it as well. When did you integrate that into the con?
Actually, it's year one, weekend one, role-playing clubs, the then D&D club and now Pathfinder club has been with us every year. Magic, the Gathering, has been incorporated probably now for 5 or 6 years. So between the two groups, the community and the players, they come from as far as St. Louis, Memphis, Carbondale to play. And then other games, we have our local comic book store hosts, Hero Clicks, some Pokemon tournaments, things like that. So the gamers have been with us since week one, year one, and we are glad to have them every time we see them come in.
Let's talk a little bit about you on the personal side. How long has this, you know, comics and this medium been an interest to you?
Well, I celebrate my 50th birthday this year. So every bit of 45 years. I've been a comics fan my whole life. Love the industry. Love the art form. And have a true appreciation for all the other genres as well that are represented here. So my whole life.
What do you have a first memory? Something that stands out in your mind as far as, you know, I talked with a buddy of mine last week, and his first memory was waiting for his dad at the grocery store, and so he's looking at the spinner rack. I mean, do you have something along that maybe when the comics first, you know, caught your eye?
Sure. I had an older brother, and there was an issue of Fantastic Four in my house. I want to say it was the early 70s, you know, 71, 72, and he was, you know, 12, and I was 4, and apparently... You know, I grabbed it and took it from him, and he never got it back. And I was a comic fan from that day on. So my brother had a copy of the Fantastic Four in the very, very early 1970s, and I took it and went from there.
It's amazing how hand-me-downs or you know, borrowed books, things like that. I got a bunch of old books still that I was given as a child from my uncles, and or they were passed down. A lot of Marvel stuff, you know, some Fantastic Four, some old Spider-Man, and things like that. So. And you go back and you see some of these characters and some of these old books. I know we've got, you know, there are long boxes, you know, from some of the vendor tables here and things like that. There's Master of Kung Fu I saw that triggered a memory. Things like that. It's why coming out to cons is always a great time.
Well, sure. You know, comics as a fun art form now coming up on 100 years, multiple generations, you know, 3, 4, 5 generations. Yes, I love the investment opportunities in this genre, in this hobby. I love the collectability, but yeah, share them. You know, leave them behind at schools for kids, hospitals. Share them, and pass them down for sure. Neighbors, friends, schools, libraries. Yeah, it's just to be enjoyed. It's to be enjoyed and celebrated. And lots of talented men and women. Tremendously talented men and women are here. From whether they're craftsmen, whether they're artists, whether they're writers. Yeah, we're just tremendously thankful to have them all.
In your time, you know, being a fan of the genre, what, aside from some of the perhaps artistic or stylistic changes, what have you seen in your, you know, escape, the things that how the medium has evolved?
Well, one of the ones that comes to mind is the print quality. You know, you can go back to the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, and that print quality is newspaper print. You know, again, I'm sure it was great for then, but now print quality to include digital. So digital obviously is a new era, totally different than print. But the print quality in the late 80s, early 90s became really, really spectacular, and now we're in a digital era as well. So big changes, but you know, still fun.
This is the 9th year, and I've got to talk with you off record. Well, not off record, but off recording. Because I want to have a table. I want to set up Nerds United here next year. But next year is going to be the 10th, and you know, kind of a milestone by itself. Anything going on in your mind, or are you just trying to get through number 9 before you start thinking about 10?
No, I started thinking about 10 a couple months back. Now, you know, that's you have to springboard year to year. You have to prepare. You have to meet new people like yourself that want to become a part of this show. And so number 10, I can tell you number 10 it is a milestone. It's a big year for us. I guess the biggest announcement I will make right now is we will have a film festival. Cape Comic Con will have a film festival for year 10, and it's going to be great. That's the first thing I'll announce.
Well, I hope to get you on, you know, as more information is released. I hope to get you on the show again. As I look around here, I know we had some... some unfortunate setbacks. Mick Foley was supposed to be here, and then Jerry the King, but you've got Jim Cornette, and you know, I've visited with Jim a couple times already today, and just a great personable guy, really fun to talk with, and you get him here in town for the weekend, and he's doing a show later tonight.
He is. Yeah, and in this industry, what we're trying to accomplish here, you know, we reach out to media type celebrities, if you will, and they have agents that get involved in the process. And yeah, we did. We had a couple of guys cancel for whatever reason. Those things happen. You've got to be able to move on. You've got to be able to still create and build a show. And we are really thankful to have Jim Cornette, and he is quite a personality.
Certainly, he had me laughing, and he was laughing. It's good when you're sharing that red faced, wholehearted laugh. Shane Davis is another one who's here. Another top level yet still rising name, I think, in the industry.
Yeah. So historically, over our years in the comics business, we've been really, really fortunate. Legends like Denny O'Neill and Roy Thomas and Gary Frederick have been guests at this show. Tremendous lineup right there. Then as far as contemporary, A-list, if you will, artists in the industry, Ethan Van Sciver was here, Billy Tucci was here, and Shane Davis just falls right in line with those guys. A-list talent coming to Cape Girardeau for our event. Man, we a great get for Cape Comic Con, and the fans seem to be really enjoying him. And the nice thing is they leave and they go back, and they share that with their peers and contemporaries in this business, and I think that only helps us as the years to come.
Because, you know, one of their colleagues, contemporaries, could be on your Rolodex for next year.
Absolutely, and we start working for them right away. You know, one thing I mentioned today, and I'll tell you as well, we have some local artists, amateur, professional, whatever category they want to be in, and they come to our shows, and they network, and they show their work, and fans get to know them, and there are some artists here locally, St. Louis, Memphis, a 150-mile radius. They're really talented, and they come and they put their work out, and people really enjoy it. So they really get to experience, you know, being a professional at a con as well.
Well, one final thing that I'll touch on here, Ken, is the public who gets so involved, the cosplayers, you know, everybody that's filling up the arena building here, and this is who it's for.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, here in a couple hours, we will have a costume contest, and you will see grandparents and parents with their little ones dressed up, getting pictures taken with the characters that are here. It's a huge event for them. They really enjoy it. We're glad to have them here. And I do want to mention that this is the first year we've reached into our community, the business community, and we have tremendous sponsors that will only help this show grow. Warenberg Theater, Bank of Missouri, Kaleidoscopes, Culver's, BG's, local comic shops, Hastings. So my point with that is that when you reach that audience and your business in town, and they get behind it and support it, yeah, we have really good things to look forward to in the future.
Ken Murphy looking forward to not just the rest of the con, but down the road as well. And hopefully, like I said, we can get Nerds United at our own table, and I won't have to do as much recording on my iPhone at the Cape Comic Con 10. Ken, thanks so much for your time, and more success for the Cape Comic Con.
Hey, thank you. Glad to have Nerds United here.
I'm here talking with Matt. Now, Matt has, similar to me, but far more extensive than I, has branded his love of comic books, particularly, I'm going to say, the Justice League,
right,
on his left arm in a full sleeve. Wonder Woman, Batman, Green Lantern, The Atom, Flash is on there, Superman, Hawkman, Green Arrow, Aquaman, Martian Manhunter. Did I miss anybody?
I think that's about it. And you got Gleek from the Super Friends right there, too, just for fun.
Gleek from the Super Friends. All right, Matt, where are you from?
I am originally from San Antonio, Texas, ironically. Live out here probably a good few years now outside of Jack or in the Jackson area, and I pretty much work out of St. Louis. I work for Banana Republic, but been here for a few years. My wife's from the area, so came out here and live here now. So,
Is this the ninth Cape Con? Is this the first time you've been out here, or you kind of make it a yearly thing?
I come every year, yeah. I've been to, you know, numerous ones. I'll be attending a couple ones in St. Louis coming up, and Chicago, and those are always fun too. But, you know, Cape Girardeau, we've got to come out and represent, right? So,
and obviously, because of the size of perhaps the venue or the size,
right,
of the town, a little bit smaller. But in your experience, how do you judge the Cape Con?
You know, for our size of our town, I think it's pretty decent. I mean, it's nowhere near the magnitude of, like, you know, St. Louis or Chicago or Austin, Minneapolis, et cetera, but it's always good to see the amount of people that come out in Cape Girardeau that represent the comic book or even pop culture world, so.
Seems like every year you come out, you know, see a new face, or maybe see a familiar face from a year ago, and
right.
maybe make a new friend.
True story.
I take it there, maybe or perhaps there is a story there.
There is a story there. There was a couple years ago we came, and my stepson was, we were watching, I can't remember what artist it was, but they were doing so many cool things. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was really, really cool to watch, and it was a competition, and I don't know if they're going to do it this year where they played round robin, and everybody kind of does a page, and they move, and everybody kind of bounces around back and forth. It was a really just cool idea. Yeah, it was cool.
Now, you and your wife who went to wander around, I saw that, first of all, she's wearing a Green Lantern shirt, yeah. which means that obviously, you know, not that she needs any cool points with me, but,
right.
you know, being a Green Lantern fan that I am, and you two are expecting.
We are.
And I overheard just the snippet of a conversation that you're going with a classic comic book name.
We are. We are, and my wife's fully on board, about probably 99% sure that we are going to name our son Kal-El after the Kryptonian Superman, of course. But, yeah, we're excited. I'm, as a big geek, I'm really down with that, so it's going to be really, really fun, yeah.
As a geek myself, sometimes I wonder how I got a wife.
Right. I agree 110%. Luckily, she's on board with everything I'm passionate about, and she's kind of in love with it, too.
And here, no, okay, she just found us, and she wants nothing to do with...
She was my monster.
The Monster Energy drink,
that's
folks.
Right,
get your heads out of the gutter.
Right. Perverts.
Matt, thank you very much for visiting
You're
with
welcome.
Me, and enjoy the Cape Con.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Good to meet you.
All right, we're joined now by Jamie Hickson, and founder, is that an appropriate term? A HELOC Comics, which is based down in, he's laughing because we had some pronunciation issues just a moment ago. HELOC Comics, based out of southeast Missouri. Is that your baby?
Not just my baby. I mean, I was there at the beginning. HELOC actually started in around 1994. Me and a couple of friends of mine, we had an idea to do our own comics and got some stuff together and then realized how expensive it was going to be to produce a comic and we're, oh, well, maybe we can wait. And then we ended up waiting like 15 years nearly. But I started doing graphic design and started working for a print shop and then I figured out how much it actually cost to print something and said, hey, this is pretty affordable. Let's see if we can do this comic thing again. So... it all kind of grew out of that.
Let's talk a little origin story. How did you? What was, I guess, the catalyst that got you interested in the medium?
As far as like just reading comics and collecting them, well, like a lot of kids, they were really accessible. They were at the grocery store all the time or the gas station, and they just looked really neat. You know, as a kid, you have coloring books and storybooks and things like that. And then you see this comic book, and it's a little different. It's a lot brighter colored usually, and a lot more dynamic. You know, somebody's getting punched or flying through the air. You know, and so I started reading comics before so far back I can't remember when I started reading. I was probably technically about 7 or 8 years old, and amazing how. Yeah, 7 or 8 year old could comprehend what was going on in a Captain America book in the 70s, but it worked. And I used to sit and trace the comics and things like that. I'm one of those people that just I had any artistic ability was completely inherited from my dad and my aunt and any other relatives that knew how to draw before me because. I just kind of took to it, and it just kind of grew from there. So I always did well in school, at least, when it came to drawing and art class. So, and then comics were a natural extension of that. So
as you got older, let me ask you this one. Let's go back. Did you have a childhood favorite character, and is that one that you've kept through your adult life? Or as you've grown up and matured, did you look, and not to be punny or anything, but a more mature title or something they gravitated towards?
Well, yeah, what would be considered my favorite has changed through the years. And like I said, Captain America was the big thing when I was a 10-year-old and tracing those comics and learning how to mimic them and draw like that. Captain America is still very much one of my favorite characters. But as I grew and comics grew also and you got more mature titles like Strangers in Paradise or Sandman and things like that, you start to branch out and especially when you start to see comics as an art form instead of just a bunch of superheroes running around punching each other. So, and Sandman actually is one of the things that I gravitated toward once I was in my early 20s and really started to follow that book. That's one of my favorite. I hesitate to say my favorite character because, like, the stories and the art are really what is my favorite thing about Sandman. It's what he did and what all the artists did with that idea, you know. So I love Hellboy. That's just sometimes that's so over the top and so crazy, and it's just got these really cool graphics a lot of the times. Hellboy's a definite favorite character too. So,
and Mike Mignola just celebrated 20, 25 years, something like that, of the character Hellboy.
It's funny you should bring that up. Today is Hellboy Day. Actually, my buddy Brian Koshak, who's here at the show, just told me about that. He's like, "Hey, it's Hellboy Day." I was like, "All right." And yeah, Brian actually has done some stuff for Dark Horse. And he got his gig drawing a Hellboy piece, the stuff he did for Dark Horse, so that was kind of neat.
So let's talk about HELOC Comics then. How'd you come up with the name?
You know,
like I said, this is origin. Everything has a story.
Now, this is very true of our name. Going back 20 years to that first group of friends, we had our ideas and all that, and we figured out after we collaborated a little bit, we're like, well, we got to call this something, whether it's, you know, oh, the SEMO comic crew or something, you know, silly. But we wanted something kind of unique and different. Well, Andy Borders, who's also here at the show, he's 7x7 Studios right down there. And he was one of that original group, and he was a big fantasy sci-fi reader. He pulls out this big book, and he goes, I'm going to own this book. I'm going to point to a word. As long as it's not the, and, if, but. If it's a real word, that's going to be in the name of our comic company. So he opens this book and points, and he didn't look down. He made one of us look down, and we're like, HELOC. That's kind of a neat word. And it was like, wow, cool, HELOC Comics. And that was it. It stuck from that point on. The funny thing is, like a year later, as we, you know, we progressed and then we kind of fell by the wayside, but we're still interested in doing it. He got that same book out and he reread the book and could not find the word HELOC in that book anywhere. And we're like, man, did we miss see that? Did it say like he took and it was a misprint? And he's like, no.
HELOC without the T.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, no, the word HELOC was not in that book. So it's kind of a mysterious word. We can't even find it like on the internet. Even now with Google, you Google HELOC, you get us. You get this weird wrench thing that like it's a multi-wrench. It's called a HELOC. And then you get some family from down south, I think. And they actually contacted us on Facebook. Their last name is HELOC, their family name. And they're like, how did you come up with the name HELOC Comics? Wink, wink, you know. And their names are, their last name is HELOC, you know. And so
they're looking for their royalties.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, well, good luck with that, dude. You know, we're losing money, so nah.
What's going on then at HELOC Comics? What books are out there? What projects perhaps coming down the pipe? I mean, the booth is busy. Lots of things. I actually picked up one here, a Monster Wrestling League, because
I love that.
I like comics. I like wrestling, and monsters are cool too.
There you go. We've done quite a bit of different stuff in the 5 years we've been together. You know, this official printed version of HELOC, the modern version, I guess you'd say. Yeah, HELOC.
The Silver Age.
HELOC 0.2, you know. But anyway, we did an anthology-style book for about 5 issues, and then we most of the ideas finished up. One of our collaborators, who was there at the beginning, Big John O'Neill, his story wasn't finished, but he became ill last year. He's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and one of the things we're most proud of and we have here at the show is we did a benefit book for John, and it's we all got together and came up with stories and ideas that we thought John would like. He loves the old monster cars and the hot rods. He loves, you know, beautiful women, hot chicks, whatever you want to call it.
And don't we all?
Yeah. and he loves monster stories, especially the classic monsters and the old monster comics and things like that, EC comics and whatnot. So we call this thing Gears, Girls, and Ghouls, and it's just basically a collection of stuff that John likes, and we just wanted to do stuff that would kind of make him happy. But we're selling the book here, and we do. We actually have a reprint of John's original comic from 1994, a character of his called Loke. And he actually did a little comic back then, and I've re-scanned all the pages because his original art burned up in a fire a few years ago. But I found one of the original copies and re-scanned them, and we call it the remastered version because I went in and fixed places where it was patchy and the lettering and stuff like that. Looks really cool, and but all that we're offering stuff on our table, and all the proceeds go to help John. So that's something we're really proud of. And then we've got a couple of other new comics. The collected version of From the Ground, Nathan Rice. It's his zombie comic he's been doing with us for a couple of years. And we've got one that's about flappers in the early 1900s in New York. And then we've got the aforementioned monster wrestling comic. So, yeah, we got. I feel like we've got a pretty diverse lineup, and we got something for everybody. We even have a kids comic that's free. It's done by kids. My son, he did a strip in it. He's 11 years old. Another kid was like 9 years old. He did a little thing. And so, yeah, we kind of run the gamut. We've got something for everybody, we feel like.
Where can, you know, if folks aren't here, obviously by the time they listen to this, the con will be over. Where can they find you? Facebook, on the web? Give us some information. Plug the company.
Oh, I wish. Plug away. We, of course, have a Facebook like everybody on the planet.
I've got more than I can count. So.
Yeah, it's just Helot. I think it's Helot Comics, you know, the www.facebook.com/HelotComics. If you just type in Helot Comics on Facebook, it goes right to our page. And then we just, our actual website, HelotComics.com, went live on Wednesday, I think. So we have a web presence now, and people can go there and look at our stuff and read about us and the books, of course. And we're setting up the store. We're trying to set the store up, and hopefully it will be up and running in about a week or so, and they can actually buy the comics directly from us, and we'll ship them out. And we're also hoping to have digital versions available very soon.
And that includes, as you say, the store, some of John's stuff that they can go and help the cause?
Yes, we'll have the benefit book because we printed plenty of them. We've already covered all the printing costs, so every cent that comes in for the book goes directly to John.
Well, Jamie, I appreciate your time. Thank you for spending a little bit. Thanks for coming out here to the Cape Con. And it's been fun, you know, for me, and hopefully it's been a worthwhile endeavor for you guys.
Oh, definitely. Thanks, Greg. We have a blast every year. We made our debut at Cape Comic Con 5 years ago, and we've enjoyed it every time we've come back. So we'll be here until they run us all out.
That's Jamie Hickson from Helot Comics. Check him out on Facebook and HelotComics.com.
Right.
And that is Jamie, and a fantastic guy, and I'm excited to read Monster Wrestling League because it's monsters, it's wrestling, and it's comics.
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
All right, I'm here with Colin, and he's a cosplayer and built a phenomenal Halo ODST uniform, soldier's uniform. Colin, first of all, how long did it take you to build this uniform?
Thank you. About 400 hours total. I started about last November.
What's the primary material that you used?
EVA foam floor mats, exercise mats.
Jeez, I can't imagine. I mean, it looks great. Obviously, we got a picture up on the Facebook page. People can check it out. But if there's any, I mean, the gun you've got is the. This shows how long it's been since I've even played Halo, but it is the Alien Blaster.
Correct.
What do you have an ODSD soldier's rifle?
Not yet. I'm planning on starting one this summer.
So you're gonna fabricate it yourself?
Yes, sir.
Out here at the con, doing this, entered it into the costume contest. What do you think your chances are? There are a lot of good costumes this year.
Pretty well.
I know you got a pretty positive response from the crowd. Been playing Halo since its very first incarnation back on the original Xbox?
I've been playing Halo since I was about 6 years old.
Wait a minute now. It only came out in like 2000, right?
2002.
You're young. You're really... And I feel really old. So how old are you then? Colin, just a few moments ago, they announced the winners of the costume contest. I thought ODSD would have been in there, but again, we talked about the high level of competition. But it's not all about the contest. It's about, you know, kind of representing an interest of yours, right?
Yes, sir.
No, we were talking a minute ago about how you were making me feel incredibly old in the sense that I was playing Halo when I was 20, and you say you're playing Halo when you're 6, and that makes me all sorts of sad. Do you have a favorite version of Halo? Favorite 1, 2, 3?
Halo 3 is by far my favorite.
What was it about that particular one that stands out to you?
The campaign, the multiplayer, and it was the first one on the 360, so just like the programming and visual effects itself were much better than the other two. And
Xbox One, are you going to just keep going with the systems as long as they keep making Halo games? You're never going to jump off the bandwagon?
I'm going to keep with Halo as long as they don't screw it up.
Hey, that's honesty, folks. Colin, great to meet you. Great to visit with you. Your costume's fantastic. And go get the Horde.
All right, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Holy hole in a donut!
Visiting now, I've got Travis and his son, Brandon. And they are owners, operators, entrepreneurs of Q's Comics. And they hit up a few shows every year. Travis, you are the dad. And let's talk a little bit with you.
Occasionally.
Let's start. Where did your interest begin in comics?
Well, my interest began, I'm 45 years old, and I've been interested in comics literally as long as I can remember. I grew up in a little town called Dielstadt, which is about 10 miles from Sykeston. And we had right across the street was Lion's Store, and it was, for our little town, it was the post office, it was the grocery store, it was the gas station, and they had comic books. And Mr. and Mrs. Lyons were always good enough to let me come over and look at the comics. So, Grandma Lyons, if you're listening, you're responsible. And I've passed my addiction on to my son, Brandon.
Well, let's talk about those early years. What character? Was there one particular maybe hero or on the other side villain perhaps that maybe jumped out to you that helped propel this into what's become a kind of a lifelong passion?
Two characters for me growing up, Spider-Man and Batman. They were my two favorites. After school, Batman was on. And at the time, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And then, of course, Spider-Man as well. Has always been one of my favorites. So those two characters, and then, you know, as I got older, it was The Flash, the Justice League of America, the X-Men, Fantastic Four. So those were some of the comics that I grew up with that I really enjoyed.
Now, you think, you know, now Batman and Spider-Man are two, you know, kind of opposite ends of the spectrum as far as attitude. But in Bill Dozier's Batman, a little bit campy, you know, a little bit, you know, lighthearted. Was it something like that made you kind of gravitate towards the Caped Crusader?
Well, at the time, of course, I'm watching it as a little kid. It doesn't appear campy. I look back on it now, and I think, oh, what did I see in this? But, you know, when Batman and Robin would hit one of the bad guys and the screen would just go kapow, I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And then I have to, you know, be honest as well, the villains were great. Burgess Meredith as the Penguin, Julie Newmar as the Catwoman, who I thought was the hottest thing walking at the time. Cesar Romero as the Joker, and then, of course, Frank Gorshin as the Riddler. So all of those, the villains just really always jumped out for me as well. I remember when I was in elementary school, my mom took me to meet Burt Ward, who was there in his Robin outfit, and signed the autograph picture, and I was just in hog heaven. So, yeah, that show, and then that turned me onto the Batman comic books. And then, as I say, Spider-Man, again, probably because of the villains. Dr. Octopus, Electro, Mysterio, the Green Goblin, the Kingpin. Just all of those were just such great villains. The Flash, that was another reason I think I gravitated to The Flash, because he had these great, colorful villains.
And you're hitting the nail on the head. The Rogues, you know, for all three of those heroes are big, flashy, no pun intended. You know, all have the villains are very often, I think, more interesting than the heroes themselves.
Oh, I think that's right. Every great hero is defined by his villains. I think that's one reason Superman and Wonder Woman and have kind of lagged behind, because, you know, Superman has Luthor and Brainiac, and Wonder Woman has the cheetah. And you get beyond that, and it gets pretty sparse. But yeah, with the Flash, it was the Mirror Master and Captain Cold and Heat Wave and Gorilla Grodd. So those were always great villains. And I think too, what pulled me into those comic books were the artists at the time. Whether it was John Romita or Gil Kane or Neil Adams. Those were the guys who were doing the artwork there in the early 70s. Ditko was still around. And then just a little later into the 80s, McFarlane comes along on Amazing Spider-Man and did that incredible run. So some of those great artists, John Byrne on the X-Men, he was doing his run. So and those artists just really grabbed me as well in the great storylines. So as I got a little older, I began to pay more attention to that. And I think I was real fortunate to grow up reading comics when you had these just wonderful artists who were at the height of their career.
So we mentioned a few moments ago, you don't have a physical location, as far as a store, but you do make the rounds to some of the area cons and tell. Well, I know I'm here. I'm seeing what you've done. I bought a few books from you, but tell the listeners a little bit about what you do at the cons.
Well, at the comic book shows, of course, we try to do more selling than buying. But I do. I made a trade with a guy not long ago that I think is going to work out very well for us. I bought a small collection last night. Of course, you have to be honest with your customers. I can't pay what the guide says the book is worth because I have to make a little money on the resale end. So. Just over the years, some of these are from my personal collection. I sold just earlier today the Crisis on Infinite Earths storyline that sort of rebooted the DC universe there in the mid-80s.
Actually, you sold that to a buddy of mine.
Did I? Okay. That was all from my... I bought most of those off the rack when they first came out. Of course, there was George Perez, another one of my favorites, doing the artwork. So... And I remember reading the issue where the Flash died, Barry Allen. Of course, that was my Flash.
Spoiler alert, folks.
Well, of course, these are old. Of course, he died. And I remember it just broke my heart. And those were so powerfully written and drawn. But I buy and sell on eBay. Do buy collections occasionally. So it's just been 40 years of a great hobby.
Let's bring your son into the conversation then, because there's a long-term plan. You're going to school. You see all this. You see this, camaraderie at the shows, and you're looking someday down the road to open up your own store.
I just fell in love with the comics. We started doing this about 5 years ago, and I don't know, just something about him. He's always had the comics. I've been around him my whole life, so thought I might make a living off of it.
Do you spend a lot of your youth, I'm sure, just rereading issues and, so many of Dad's books?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton. I collect mostly Ghost Rider. I have almost every appearance he's ever made, so I've read a ton of that. Just anything else that appeals to me.
All right, so here's one for you. Do you have the Ghost Rider thing Christmas crossover?
Yes, I do. That's a good story.
The only reason that one is in my memory is because that was one that was handed down to me by my uncle. So I'm familiar with that one. All right. Ghost Rider's had a couple of movies. One of them might have been okay. I mean, as a Ghost Rider fan, what were your thoughts on it?
I liked the first one. There wasn't really... the villains weren't like they were in the comics. The second one, I don't even want to talk about. I try not to acknowledge it. It killed me.
So if somebody's, they're coming to you. You're obviously familiar with the character. Where's a good launching point for Ghost Rider? Where would you send them?
I like the 90s stories the best. The 70s, I liked collecting them better. But some of the stories were a little goofy. At one point, Ghost Rider was a celebrity in Hollywood. I thought he was wearing a mask, so... But the 90s is better, Ghost Rider's a little tougher, so that's where I would start.
You mean that a Christmas crossover with a thing wasn't goofy?
Only a little bit.
So, again, we talk about the long-term plans. You're going to school right now and working towards a business degree?
Well, I'm a junior in high school right now, so, yeah, the long-term plan is going to get a business degree.
So it's a little bit longer than I thought. He looks like look at that facial hair. I was thinking college, I'm trying to make him grow up a little bit faster than you want him to.
Well, they grow up too fast. I remember reading them comics when as bedtime stories. So yeah, I'm afraid I'm responsible for that. My oldest son didn't quite get as addicted as Brandon did, but he's been here today helping me a little bit as well. So, you know, we try to make we've got a wide variety of comics. We've got, of course, Marvel and DC, but we've got a lot of independents. We've even got Archie's and Harvey's, you know, for a little younger audience. So we try to, you know, have something for everybody when we come to the shows. And we just love people, you know, talking to people that have the same passion for the hobby that we do. And, of course, people come out and they're dressed up, and it's just a lot of fun for us. We enjoy meeting people and talking to them, including people like yourself.
Oh, shucks. if somebody's, again, listening to this and they're like, man, I'm wondering if you've got, you know, whatever number Justice Society book, is there a way that they could contact you guys? Maybe an email address or something like that if somebody's, you know, trying to do some business from afar?
Sure. They can contact me at travislq@hotmail.com. Also, minister.church@sbcglobal.net. Either one of those email addresses, if you have something on your want list, if you want it graded or ungraded, I've got a few graded comics even. So give us an email and we'd be happy to talk to you.
All right. Brandon, Travis, thank you both for your time. Best of luck to Q's Comics and stay in school. You don't want to end up like me. So thank you both again, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you, Greg. We enjoyed it.
I'm a doctor, not an escalator.
All right, I'm here with Travis, and Travis is a cosplayer, but he's going to have to do some explaining, man. I don't get it. What am I seeing here?
I'm the King of All Cosmos from Katamari Damacy.
I got King of All Cosmos. You're going to have to say that other part a little slower. I'm hard of hearing.
Sorry. It's from Katamari Damacy.
Travis.
It's a video game.
It's a video game. That's okay. What is it? A newer video game? Older video game? I mean, is it vintage? Is it? Help me out, man.
It's a series, mostly on the PS2. So yeah, came from Japan. It's by Namco.
What? Which? I'm not a gamer. The extent of my video gaming was kind of the Halo, a lot of sports games. So you're educating me. I never turned down a free education. How long did it take for you to put this outfit together? This not outfit, costume, sorry.
Easily 100 hours of work.
You had to fabricate this big tube that's sitting on your head. And you said earlier, I was visiting with you, and you said you can really, it kind of strained to hear things, which I'm like, crap, maybe talking with Travis might not work if he can hardly hear me, but it seems to be all right now.
Oh, yeah. We're close enough. It's less crowded, so... But everything's still muffled around me.
You're kind of in a big... it's like you're walking around in a big seashell. Yeah, you know, are you here in the ocean?
A little bit.
Are you from Cape here, or where'd you come from for this show?
I'm from Hillsboro, Missouri. It's a couple hours north.
And, I mean, do you go around, like, are you planning to go up north in a couple weeks to St. Louis, is this? Or I mean, what's your plan? Where are you taking the King of All Evil?
King of All Cosmos.
Why am I thinking evil? The King of All, where all are you going to take the King of All Cosmos?
I don't think I'll be able to make Anime St. Louis, but CosplayCon in Jeff City in June. I'll probably have this with me, as well as a new cosplay I'm working on, so...
What inspired you about this character or about this franchise?
Well, it actually started last year sometime. I was talking with some friends, we were partying, and somebody just looked at me and they're like, "You would make a perfect King of Cosmos." And I got the idea, and I love the games, I love the character.
And it just kind of fit, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I commend you. I'm going to shake your hand again right now. I shook it in. How do I put this? I don't have the stones, the intestinal fortitude, if you will, to walk around with an oversized paper towel, tube on my head. I commend you. Your costume is awesome. It's a shame you weren't, in the top three at the costume contest, but you're out here having a lot of fun. That's what it's all about, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Travis, I want to thank you very much for visiting with me for Nerds United, and man, take that thing off your head before you lose all your hearing.
I'll take it off at some point.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
All right, here at the 2014, the 9th annual Cape Girardeau Cape Comic Con, joined by HELOC comic artist and writer, his name is Nathan Instant Rice. Now, we're going to get into the instant part in a minute. It's not what you think, folks. Chill out. Nathan, let's start at the beginning. When did you first get interested in the medium of comics?
Ever since I was a kid. I actually remember it. It was on my birthday that I got some comics, and I loved the way they looked, and so I started drawing out of them, and it's just kind of progressed from there.
Early on, did you have, a favorite character, perhaps, that really jumped out at you?
Well, I really started with Spider-Man back in the day, back when he had the symbiote suit. That was really my first introduction, so of course I liked him the most then.
Let's talk about then what kind of, or how did you parlay that into wanting to kind of, get into the creative aspect of it?
Well, there again, just drawing from them, and I loved the way the comics looked, and of course, I liked the way some of the cartoons looked as well, and ever since then, I was just always, that's what I really want to do is comics, is for my art.
I picked up one of your books this weekend, the Monster Wrestling League, and as I was telling you, well, I like wrestling, I like comics, I like monsters, so it's perfect. For me, perfect confluence. What inspired that particular story?
It's just to have fun with it. We were just sitting around talking, and that idea just kind of popped up, and it just kind of took off for itself right there.
Got to bring up the instant part of Nathan Instant Rice, because we're going to highlight that, I guess, by bringing up a story from last year's Cape Con. Jerry the King Lawler was at last year's show, and there was, I guess, a shipping issue or something with the prints, the Lawler pictures that were supposed to be here. Weren't sure if they were going to arrive in time, so you and the guys from HELOC Comics kind of looked around and said, we got this.
They had a problem with prints, and they needed to get some, and so they're trying to scramble to get something together that was for the show. And they know I'm pretty quick about trying to get stuff out. There was a little 5-page comic we got in a whole day, and so they were saying, well, why don't you try to come up with something? So I got it drawn, got it colored, and we took it up to them that night to try to get it printed off, and at the last minute, they got the everything in.
But we were talking a little bit before recording, and you said that you had all these prints, ready to go, but you didn't put any of them out. Walk us through what happened last year.
Yes, they got everything in, and so we were sitting there discussing. It's kind of like, well, it's a shame to let this go to waste since he's going to be there anyway. And so we printed a bunch of them off, and we brought them up here with us, and we were going to sell them, and there was a miscommunication somewhere, so we ended up not putting them out because we were like, we don't want to step on anybody's toes or cause any problems. And Sunday, right before he was leaving, I was like, well, I'm going to get the original signed because that's just something I kind of started picking up at these little shows. I started doing pictures of the guests and getting it signed, and I'm like, that's a unique thing for myself to have. So I took it over there and had him sign it, and he was looking about it and talking about it, and one of the other guys at our table brought up some of the prints, and he was like, oh, these are really neat. Can I have some of these? So we ended up giving him like a handful of them, and we kind of talked about, we didn't put them out because we didn't want to cause any problems if there was, we didn't want to cut into anybody or anything.
Right. And licensing and copyright, yes. We're trying not to infringe.
Yes, yes. And he was like, well, here, let me sign half of these for you. And so we took him over there, and he signed about half of them, half of this big stack of prints that we brought over. And he was like, you guys can sell them and keep all the money and don't worry about it. And so, yeah, we thought that was real neat. And we brought him back again this year because, we originally thought he was going to be here, but that ended up falling through. But we still got him.
And What projects are you working on now?
Right now, it's just I got a one I'm working on for myself. We have a guy that wrote a little script that works with us, and it's the best way I could explain it was the business side of villainy. There again, it's going to be kind of a silly thing.
The business side of villainy. Well, because henchmen have to get paid.
That's right. And it there again, it's just kind of personal experiences from places we worked. You know, you have to go, well, you work in a factory. There was a sexual harassment thing that we all had to sit through and watch videos and, you know, stuff like that. And so we figured it would be funny to throw henchmen and supervillains into this situation. And
I like the concept of it. It'd be interesting to see how that story unfolds. I was talking with Jamie, and I believe he mentioned From the Ground. Is that one of yours as well?
Yes, that's another one from mine. There again, it's just a goofy story. We got to looking on this. It was like the top 125 worst movies ever made, and over half of them were like real low class zombie movies. And so I was like, well, hey, anybody can make something about zombies. And and so I did.
And it sounds like it's kind of a lighter take. I mean, obviously zombies right now are huge, Walking Dead in its popularity. But you kind of went the opposite way and trying to keep it a little bit more, at least upbeat for the readers.
Yes, I tried to throw in a lot of jokes. Kind of make fun of those, you know, the bad movies, why it's lame. There was one about how he was going to shoot this thing and it's going to blow up, but I remember seeing on Mythbusters, it doesn't actually blow up, so, you know, I got that little joke in there about that.
Nathan, I want to thank you for your time, for joining us here on Nerds United, and wishing you and all the gang from HELOC Comics the best of luck down the road.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're joined now by Dennis, a.k.a. Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America. Dennis, going with the Captain America Marvel Cinematic Universe from the original Captain America movie. Looks sharp, man.
Thanks, appreciate it.
How much of that was homemade? How much of that did you fabricate, or did you just kind of get lucky, stumble upon it online? Or?
It was kind of a weird deal. I was looking up online for costumes, and I got the smallest size I got, and it was far too big, so I had to do a lot of modifying on it. I had to expand the neck, put Velcro in certain places, and kind of tone it up. Had to re-sew the gloves, the gauntlets, everything. It just, I had to make it form fit. It was just too large.
Have you been a lifelong Captain America fan, or do you kind of, you know, from show to show, do you change up, you know, who you're going as, who you're dressing as, or is Captain America kind of your guy?
Actually, my guy is usually Batman, but recently I joined a group called the Gateway Super Friends, who do charity events and things like that, and they've already got three Batmen, so I decided to add a little bit to my repertoire. So I figured it, for like 4th of July parades and things like that, maybe a patriotic theme would be the way to go, so I went ahead and got a Captain America for that reason.
Great response here from you know, the con goers, kids. Kids love Captain America.
Oh, yeah, and the ladies seem to like it, too.
I wasn't expecting that one, but it works.
Yeah, yes, it does work. Yes, it definitely does work, yeah.
I might have to change the rating on this particular episode. We're getting out of hand.
Yeah, but the older people actually seem to also kind of enjoy it as well. You know, Captain America has been around since the 1940s, and so they really respond to it.
Is it at what point in your life did you kind of get into perhaps comics or you know, this type of medium? When did you enter into this part of the world?
Okay, well, in actual being a comic book geek was probably about when I was 10. At around Christmas time, I got into the comic book geekdom kind of thing when I was about 10 years old. My mom and dad, they bought me a comic book, and I started getting into Superman and Batman. I really got into Batman, but it wasn't until like about 1984 that I started trying to see if I could sneak it in, you know, dressed in a costume other than at Halloween or whatever. So I started sneaking it in then. So, but
Batman, kind of your favorite? Is that a safe?
Yeah, he's kind of my go-to guy. You know, yeah. I've had various incarnations over the years. I've had like the Michael Keaton Batman Returns version. I've had the Adam West version. I've had the deluxe one that it's all muscle suits. I didn't keep that one very long. And then I just recently built a Justice League Unlimited style that I was wearing earlier today. So.
Okay, now I remember seeing Batman with
the kind of a homemade one. It doesn't have the rubber mask. It's got the pleather mask, and it's, you know, I've integrated screen door netting and all this stuff, and my glass lenses so I could see what I was doing and all this stuff. So
now you yourself have over the years gone as several different styles of Batman. Do you have a favorite Batman?
Actually, the favorite is the one I'm currently wearing, you know, the Justice League Unlimited. For one thing, because I do a lot of stuff that's during the hot summer months, and so rubber and acrylic tend not to breathe very good. So,
as far as, you know, TV, movies and whatnot, is it the Christian Bale? Is it the Keaton? Is it, you know, the Adam West? Did you have one that sticks out in your mind?
I actually am partial to the Keaton Batman, basically. But Christian Bale is like a close second. So,
well, I appreciate your time. Keep doing the great work that you're doing, especially the stuff, you know, for you know, the charities and whatnot. And hope to see Captain America at a parade sometime this summer.
I hope so too. Yeah. Thanks for talking to me.
All right, we're here at Cape Con 2014. I'm sitting at the booth. The booth is the Stash Publishing Epicenter. 18 tables, lots of merch, the inflatable mustache. I'll tell you right now, it's not big enough for any mustache rides. Sorry, I couldn't resist. But anyway, Shane's here, and David's here, and Ryan and Jordan, and Lauren is here at the site, but she's in a panel, in a drawing panel right now. We'll start here with you, David. Stash Publishing been busy. We're out at Kansas City last weekend, and you're here today. And I know some of the other guys are, I believe, even further south.
Actually, it's been pretty good. Last weekend was more a lot, kind of meeting people that kind of are where we would like to be. And this weekend has been kind of nice because we're getting to meet people that want to break into or kind of start doing what we're doing, so it's been interesting.
Shane, you've been out on the circuit as well. What have you seen?
I've seen some pretty things and some not so pretty things.
And if by that you mean, I don't know, I'll be nice. We don't judge here at Nerds United, but I think I know what you're talking about. There was one out here Saturday at the Cape Con that was,
yep,
yeah, David knows. To my left, Ryan and Jordan, and they have, I don't think they've moved since they got here Friday. They have been busting out some Marvel and DC and Walking Dead coverage. You guys have been busy all weekend long. How's your Cape Con experience been?
Been great. We've just been really busy drawing things, getting work done. We could sell it eventually. And we've been doing the Twitter game, thanks to Drew Rose.
What's the Twitter game?
Just tweeting everything that happens and everything we draw.
So you're essentially live tweeting from the con.
Yes, and we have to live up to Drew's expectations.
Lofty that they are.
Yeah, they're insane.
So, I mean, what's next for Stash Publishing? Where are you guys going next? Are you going to be in St. Louis in a couple weeks?
We're actually going to take a break for a little bit from conventions for the fact that it's insanely expensive to do this every single time. But we have a few other projects we need to kind of wrap up and focus on. And then I think we're going to try to possibly do another convention in, like, midsummer, and then possibly one in September. But obviously, to find that out, just go to our website, and we'll keep everybody posted on that.
Stash Publishing, I got to thank you guys. I asked you, you know, for give me something that I can throw into the Cape Comic-Con prize bundle giveaway, and you gave me a stack that is fan-stash-ish. It's I don't even know. I'm making up words now, but I thank you guys all for your generosity, for willingness always to be on the show, and good luck, continued success, and don't be strangers.
Thank you. We love being on the show.
Aw, shucks. Shane's over here. He's like, I didn't hear it. Anyway, long story short, Shane, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you.
I don't want to go.
Well, there you have it, folks. Not just Ken Murphy, but some of the cosplayers who were partaking of the Comic-Con experience down in Cape Girardeau a couple weeks ago, and as well as some of the vendors who were there. And we have more to come tomorrow. So make sure that you're tuning in for part two of the Cape Comic. I'm not going to wake you... let me try that again. I'm not going to make you wait a week. I'm not going to make you wait 2 weeks. You're going to get part two tomorrow right here in the same location. I am back in the Nerd Dome, and it was great taking the show on the road. Looking forward again to doing it next year out down at the Cape Comic-Con, and hopefully some other cons or shows in the area. I know that the Superman Days is coming up in June down in Metropolis, Illinois. We'll see if the old weekend's going to be free to make that trip. But, again, part two coming your way tomorrow. This is Nerds United, JitteryMonkey.com. Remember, spread the word. You help drive the success of this show, and I want to make it a success. I love doing this. So help me spread the word. Facebook.com/NerdsUnitedShow. On Twitter, @NerdsUnitedShow. And if you have questions, comments, things like that, you can do them both there. You can also email me, NerdsUnitedPodcast@gmail.com. All one word, NerdsUnitedPodcast@gmail.com. But we'll see you. Part two, it's not far away. We're going to have all the featured guests, all the big folks, the main, the headliners, if you will, in the main event, Mr. Jim Cornette. Part two, heading your way tomorrow on JitteryMonkey.com, Nerds United.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to JitteryMonkey.com.